Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal prepped enchiladas, to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to There Is a Bowl Game to Talk About edition as your Golden Gophers travel down to Charlotte this week to take on the Virginia Tech Hokies, one of Luke's favorite ACC teams. He is an elite Hokie mind. Do not let him fool you throughout the course of this episode. With his insane research about Brent Pry's team, it is going to be the Duke's Mayo Bowl. Now, Luke, I'm going to ask you this right off the bat. Are you a mayo man?
Yeah, I like, as condiments go, I do like mayonnaise. I will put it on like burgers and those sorts of things. I use it pretty regularly when I am making like salads of certain kinds for dressings or, you know, like a pasta salad. Yeah, I'm a mayo guy. I'll go with that.
That last term in terms of mayo and salads makes you sound like the most Midwestern man.
I think, man. I'm
throughout the holiday season here.
Absolutely Midwestern.
I think mayo's fine. I'm not going out of my way to use it, but if it's on a burger or if it's in something, I'm not going to avoid it. But have you gone out of your way to go to our local Cub food stores here in Roseville to make sure that you pick up some Duke's Mayo here?
Actually, my brother-in-law gave me some Duke's Mayo for Christmas. So I have a small jar. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
I love that for you.
Yeah. So I'll probably do some like Mexican street corn with that for the bowl game. We'll throw that together. That requires some mayo, so we'll use the Duke's Mayo on that. They're getting like a free ad out of this, by the way. It's just brilliant that they do these bowl games this way, right?
Well, that's where this is going to be one of the most watched bowl games outside of the college football playoff.
Yeah.
Because just like it was earlier this week when the Pop-Tart Bowl happened, I love when bowl games just lean into the absurdity.
Yeah. 100%.
Of what they are sponsoring. And that's where I think the Pop-Tart Bowl, the way that they do it, is one of the best, and it gets people to tune in. And that's where on Friday night at 6:30 local time here, everybody will be tuning in to see if PJ Fleck wins his sixth consecutive bowl game. He is going to take the Mayo bath. And for those of you unfamiliar, they are going to fill one, if not two, Gatorade coolers full of Duke's Mayo and dump it on PJ Fleck's shiny head, which I think all of us can appreciate. And I will be heading down to the field to put some video up onto the X machine, Blue Sky machine, whatever it may be. I think you'll be able to watch it after the game as well if you want to stay up to watch the head coach get doused with mayo if Minnesota is victorious. But that's what I love about bowl games is I've seen some bowl games here where they're sponsored by XYZ company and nothing really happens. That's where I would love to see, and I know this is Ryan James's favorite thing to talk about. If Minnesota were to ever get a bowl game, Dairy Queen should be the sponsor. It could be the Blizzard Bowl, like the Dairy Queen Blizzard Bowl. They just lean into the absurdity of, say, that game at US Bank Stadium. Everything is ice cream theme. You have Dilly Bar Dan on the sidelines trying to do some different things. But I love the absurdity of bowl games, and Minnesota is one of the final ones.
Yeah, I love that idea. I saw Ryan's idea there. And you know, with the absurdity, like I think you kind of have to give Duke's Mayo. They were kind of one of the pioneers of this, right?
Correct.
With the Mayo bath. But then you said, as you said, Pop-Tarts kind of have brought it to another level, and I hope that others follow suit. And that is you know, at the end of the day, Ryan, if we're honest, I think we talk about this every year with bowl games, they're effectively glorified exhibition games, right? And
especially in the day and age of the portal, the day and age of opt-outs, the day and age of I can't definitively tell you a few days ahead of time who's going to be playing in this game.
Yeah,
but I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and when I say that, especially, I was going to say in the age of the college football playoff, especially when there are 12 teams, that's kind of what everyone's gunning for. And then from there, like the teams that are going to make that, those teams are going to see basically all of their players play. And then in this situation, like there are going to be a lot of players that are going to play. There are going to be a lot of players that are going to opt out for a number of different reasons. There are going to be a number that are going to transfer. And I think more importantly, this is also, as we've seen in the past, an opportunity for some young guys, you know, to get an opportunity to play where they haven't had a role. And then they get this opportunity to show out in a real live game against an opponent where, conversely, they've probably just been on the practicing and getting a role on the scout team, and that's basically it.
Yeah, and we'll get into some names throughout this episode that may have a bigger role than they had during the regular season. I will also do a little public service announcement for those of you looking for me to talk about the transfer portal and the 14-15 additions that Minnesota's had so far. We'll see what they pick up here in early January. I also remind all of the listeners that the transfer portal for Minnesota players on the roster right now is not closed. I know that is confusing. I tweeted about it here this morning. But because the bowl game is on January 3rd, players for Minnesota specifically have 5 days after the bowl game is played to enter the portal. So we still have until January 8th, until the end of the day, for them to notify the University of Minnesota of their intentions. So there may be a name or two that pops up yet. I'm not incredibly sure. But we will be doing an episode, and by we, myself and Daniel House have agreed to do an episode here in probably the late second week of January to talk through the transfer additions, the transfers out, how we see things going. And I know Luke, myself, and Dare Bear, Mr. Derek Burns himself, the Dinky Town athlete czar, are also going to be reviewing this game at some point early next week when our schedules align. So you will be getting here in January yet a couple of episodes.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll continue to try and do episodes in the off season as well. The frequency may not be as often, obviously, as the season where we have a preview and a breakdown of every game, but we'll try and have some content in the off season as well. So I think, Ryan, we should transfer into previewing this game now. And I think it's important that we always start with injuries, right? I think here it's important to start with just personnel in general, right? So who has opted out, you know, who is injured, all of the above.
That's a great question, and one I won't be able to answer until 2 hours ahead of time. But I will tell you this, I'd like to think I'm pretty well versed on who I think is going to be playing in this game for Minnesota.
Can I guess?
The Virginia Tech side of things, it gets a little bit more interesting because they actually allowed their media to show up to a practice, bowl practice. And their media, wrote down who practiced where, essentially went through a two deep. So I have since cross-referenced against that from their starters from the final couple of games to see who's playing, who's not. Virginia Tech has also had a multitude of transfers. I think they've had over 20 plus out. Oh, by the way, they have also fired their defensive coordinator since they played their last game against Virginia, which I'm not the Virginia Tech mind that you are, Luke, but I looked at the Virginia Tech stats this year and even their advanced defensive stats. I don't really understand that one. They seem to be fine defensively. This wasn't a Rob Smith level of inadequacy. So I'm not incredibly sure. There must be something more there that meets the eye in terms of why Virginia Tech fired their defensive coordinator. But Let's start on the Virginia Tech side of things, where I believe every single player that received all ACC recognition for Virginia Tech this season is not going to be playing in this game.
So this would be if they did a draft, every player that would have earned points like we do with Daniel House every year is not going to play.
Who won that draft?
I think you did.
Oh, did I? Yeah. Am I allowed to pat myself on the back a little bit?
Yeah, you did.
So let's start up front, and that's where the best two players for Virginia Tech, Antoine Powell-Ryland, and then Luke's favorite player, Aeneas Peebles.
Are you pronouncing that right? But like,
I have listened to the enunciations on the Virginia Tech website, so if there are Hokie fans listening, I apologize. But it's Antoine Powell-Ryland and Aeneas Peebles. They're two first-team all-ACC defensive linemen. I believe both are going to be getting ready for the NFL draft and won't play. And that is very, very large. That is very, very big. They're their two best defensive tackles, two very much game breakers for them. They're all ACC corner and Mansur Delane. He hit the portal. He's now committed to LSU. Their other starting corner, Dorian Strong, who is all ACC honorable mention, he declared for the draft. He was not at the bowl practice. So you might be having both starting corners. Jeez. For Virginia Tech, not playing in this one. Oh, by the way, they're starting safety, Mose Phillips. He hit the portal, so he's got 700 snaps that are now committed to Missouri. And their other starting safety, Keonta Jenkins, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to opt for the NFL as well. So that might be their entire secondary, their two best defensive linemen. And then, oh, by the way, they've also got two more linebackers in the portal, and Sam Brumfield and Keli Lawson, who combined for 100 tackles this season, also in the portal, not expected to play. So their defense is absolutely decimated. And then offensively, I'm expecting them to not have their quarterback one for most of the season, Kyren Drones. He's dealing with an MCL injury, a stress fracture, and a turf toe. Oh, by the way, that's it. So we're going to talk a lot about Pop Watson in this game, who's their backup, who started the final couple of games for the season for them. They're all ACC running back, which I wish I would have put in front of Luke's face before I attempt this enunciation. Is Bashal Tutin? He appears to have opted out for the NFL. He was their all ACC running back. Their wide receiver one, Daquan Felton, and their wide receiver two, Jalen Lane, both have declared for the NFL draft, and Felton has accepted a Senior Bowl invite, so I'm not expecting them to play. And then we get to the offensive line, where their starting left tackle, Xavier Chaplin, entered the portal and has committed to Auburn, not expecting him to play. Their starting center, Braylon Moore, he hit the portal. He's now going to LSU, and his older brother, who is the starting right guard, Caden Moore, appears to be opting out as well. So Virginia Tech is decimated, potentially, if all of those things are true, where they're going to be without their QB1, RB1, wide receiver 1, wide receiver 2, three starting offensive linemen. Minnesota's got their own things going on, which we can switch to here in a second, Luke. But think about all of the names that I just spent 4 or 5 minutes going through. Like I said, essentially, all of the best players for Virginia Tech this season either are likely going to be opting out to prepare for the NFL draft, or they hit the portal and are now committed to other SEC schools.
That's wild. Nuts. And to your point, like, I don't know. This is where it comes down to, like, this is an exhibition game, right?
which is why Minnesota... you look at the line for this game. It started as Minnesota as 4.5-point favorites. It's now all the way up to 7.5.
Yeah.
Now, for Minnesota, Max Brosmer is going to be playing. That was one of the things we asked him before the end of the season.
Can we talk about that real quick? I actually think that's really cool. Like, this is a guy that played FCS football, right? Had a great year, probably has an opportunity to play in the NFL. And by play, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be a starter in like a day one draft pick by any means, but he'll get in a camp. He could have some staying power because we know how smart he is. If, you know, if the likes of like a Chase Daniel can stick around for as long as they have, you know, there could be a chance for someone as intelligent as Max Brosmer, because there's value in having smart people in that room. But you know, he wants to experience being a part of a bowl game. He's never had that opportunity. I think that's so cool that he's going to pursue that.
Absolutely. And I'll remind people that he is going to be going to the Shrine Bowl, which is the postseason collegiate bowl. And why that's important, because there's going to be a first round draft pick quarterback there in Shedeur Sanders. So every quarterback evaluator that is going there to watch Sanders will also get a chance to watch Max Brosmer. I do think, if you ask me today, now we are far away from the draft, I would think that Max Brosmer ends up being a draft pick somewhere around like the seventh round. I think he eventually gets taken there, and then he can be a backup quarterback and, you know, see if he can have some staying power in the league there. But I do think there is a chance for him to be drafted. So you'll have Brosmer playing. Darius Taylor will be playing. And then it gets a little bit more complicated at running back. I don't expect Marcus Major to play in this game. I don't know why. It's just kind of been relayed to me that he's probably not going to play. And why that's important is Jordan Newbin hit the portal, and he's now going to Kent State to play for Luke's favorite coach, Kenny Burns.
Yeah.
C.A. Bengura, the transfer they took from Ohio, he transferred. So I think you're gonna get your wish that one of the things that doesn't get talked enough behind the scenes, Luke, is the number of times you have Google messaged me, why doesn't Jared Mangum play more?
Yes.
I think you're gonna finally get to see some Jared Mangum in this game.
I also
think you're gonna get to see some Femi Ejiboy, true freshman.
That is probably the most common thing that I have messaged you and Derek in our group chat. Like, why does Jared Mangum not get more play?
I think you're probably going to get a couple of touches so from Jared Mangum.
We're either going to learn why he doesn't get play, or like why I was questioning was so accurate throughout the year in this game.
I think my favorite Jared Mangum moment from this season was his one carry for 18 yards against Michigan and then he got hurt and then didn't play the rest of the game.
Yeah, he was awesome on that one carry. And he seems kind of like that short yardage back that, you know, that is a little bit more direct downhill. Not that Marcus Major and Darius Taylor are inadequate, but sometimes you just want that, right?
So I think that's going to be your trio. Is you're going to see a lot of Darius Taylor. You're going to see some Jared Mangum, maybe some Femi Ejiboy. I'm not expecting Daniel Jackson to play in this one, which means a lot of Elijah Spencer, a lot of Lameke Brockington. We'll see if that means more Christian Driver and Tyler Williams. And then on the offensive line, Ariante Irisarie is not expected to play in this one. And that's where your left tackle is going to be Quinn Carroll, who Fleck mentioned it after the Wisconsin game that Minnesota had been prepping Carroll mentally. No, not physically, because he had never taken a snap at left tackle before he had to against Wisconsin. They were going to spend most of December getting him acclimated there. He's going to be your left tackle. I'm not expecting Tyler Cooper to play because it sounds like he may have gotten an off-season surgery to prepare himself for the NFL. In that case, I wouldn't be surprised to see someone like Tony Nelson, the pride of Tracy, Minnesota, potentially get a shot there. Greg Johnson's going to play. I think Ashton Beers is going to play right guard with Quinn Carroll not there. And then the right tackle, Philip Daniels, who hit the portal and immediately committed to Ohio State. Boy, that must be a coincidence. What's that like? I wonder if you see Martez Lewis get another shot there.
Sure.
At right tackle in this game. So I'm not ruling out seeing Nathan Roy at one of the tackle spots at some point. It sounds like there's some things in flux still on the offensive line. Defensively, I'm not expecting to see Minnesota's best pass rusher, Ja Joyner, play, which means more reps for Anthony Smith. You still got a really good defensive line going into this one with Danny Strigow, Jalen Logan Redding, Devin Eastern, and Anthony Smith. And I'll say this, God forbid they actually play more than four defensive linemen in this one. Maybe we actually see young players, Minnesota's defensive staff, on the defensive line. God forbid. I don't expect to see Cody Lindenberg in this one, who declared for the NFL draft after a first-team All-Big Ten season, which means you'll likely get to see more Maverick Baranowski, Devin Williams, Joey Gerlach. I don't expect to see Justin Wally play in this game after he accepted his. Is he a Shrine Bowl at the top of my head?
Strigow? Who was it?
No, Justin Wally.
Oh, Justin Wally. Oh.
I think he's Shrine Bowl.
I think you're right. I'll look.
But I do expect to see Ethan Robinson. So you're going to have probably something out there like Ethan Robinson, Zaquan Bryan, Coy Parrish, Kerry Brown. I do hope to see Aiden Goosby in this one, who missed essentially the last month of the season with that hamstring injury. We'll see how much run he gets. But as you can tell, Minnesota's still going to be potentially missing some very impactful players, but it's nothing compared to the transition that's been going on at Virginia Tech.
Yeah. East-West Shrine Bowl for Wally, just
to Shrine Bowl. Gotcha.
Connect the dots. Okay, so obviously that was a lengthier segment than we traditionally do, but obviously important to know who might be playing, who may or may not be playing. And then I think additionally important to know, this could all change, at least on the Minnesota side, up until 2 hours before, because as we know, there is nothing before the two-hour mark of these games. So maybe we'll take a quick break here, Ryan. We'll get in a quick ad from home field, and then we'll come back and preview the offense and the defense. Ryan, as we close the year on 2024, we want to thank Home Field Apparel for sponsoring us for this entire Golden Gopher football season. I mean, the gear has been elite. It made for exceptional Christmas gifts in my family. The vintage apparel worked for my hipster brother-in-law, as well as my incredibly, incredibly skeptical, let's say, wife, who tends to not like apparel. She loves her Home Field Apparel.
Well, you're a brave man for saying that in public on a recorded platform. You're a much better man than I. But whether it's Gopher gear, whether it's, say, the ECU Pirates who beat up on the NC State team here over the weekend, home field was great to us, whatever it was, throughout the entire season. So if you're looking for awesome, unique apparel, I just gave out plenty of it over Christmas. Go to homefieldapparel.com, check out the Gopher stuff, check out whether it's Minnesota or maybe even you're like Luke Buehr and you're a gigantic Detroit Mercy fan and you want to see what they have for them. When you get to checkout, use promo code GG24 to get 15% off your first order.
All right, let's talk about when the Gophers are on offense. On the season, Minnesota is averaging 26.3 points per game. Conversely, Virginia Tech is giving up 22.8 points per game. On total offense, the Gophers are averaging 332 yards of total offense, whereas Virginia Tech is giving up 359 yards of total offense. In terms of rushing offense, the Gophers are averaging 111 yards rushing, where Virginia Tech is giving up 145 yards. And then in total pass offense, the Gophers are averaging 221 yards, where Virginia Tech is giving up 214. I don't know, Ryan. I do want to just give a shout out to Carl Anderson, who does all of these pre-games all season. I found these in the middle of this year, and honestly, they're better than anything that I have found. So shout out to you again, Carl, for this. Have appreciated that. It gives us some counting stats going into these games and allows us to preview both the offense and the defense. So just want to thank you again before we get into some what we can expect the Gophers to do on offense.
You know, Luke, you've never read a game preview from me, have you? Because I feature these in every single game preview going back years.
Yep, never.
That for all the work that Carl does, I want to make sure it gets highlighted, so I'd include it in my preview. Did you never notice that I included that for like the last 5 years? Have you ever? Luke, you're making me upset.
Yeah, I've never read it. Not once. I listened to it right here.
I know I'm just a blogger in my wife's house. Okay. But like, what? I mean, Luke, for the love of all that is
I read your breakdowns.
But this is where I keep coming back to. Let's get back to the episode while I have a mental breakdown over here.
Yeah.
This Virginia Tech defense overall wasn't bad. They were 39th in defensive success rate this year. That's pretty good. I mean, that's above average. Now, I throw all these stats out the window because of all the different things, including they fire their defensive coordinator, and they're going to be missing about 8 starters. I don't know what you expect.
Yeah, so one of my questions is, why do we think that they fired their defensive coordinator? Because it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. I'd say they were kind of a middle-of-the-pack ACC defense. I don't know, man.
Yeah, they were fine. I there must be more than meets the eye there. I'm not incredibly sure. But the way I view this from the Minnesota side of things is two things. One, this is going to be your stat of the day, Luke. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
In four of the five bowl games under PJ Fleck at Minnesota, the Gophers have run for over 215 yards, including last year in Detroit. So in four of the five bowl victories for Minnesota, or just bowl games in general, Minnesota has had a lot of success on the ground. They've run for over 215 yards in 80% of those bowl games. So it's going to be a lot about letting Darius Taylor cook. And I know a lot of people, or at least some people on Gopher Illustrated are like, well, what's the point of giving Darius Taylor 25 touches? Why would you not play your best player who's going to play against a bad, potentially, defense? Now, a lot of this comes down to Virginia Tech's front seven is decimated. Minnesota's offensive line is decimated. Which one of them has the advantage? I know that Minnesota's going to have more mass than the Virginia Tech side of things. Big Ten offensive line going against an ACC defensive line without their two best players. But I expect to see Minnesota lean into the run, but I also hope that they let Max Brosmer air this thing out, because as much as it is about the front seven for Virginia Tech, I also mentioned they could be without their entire starting secondary. So is this going to be the Elijah Spencer game where he gets featured heavily? Is it going to be the Lamecki Brockington, maybe a Christian Driver, or Tyler Williams gets some more looks, Jameson Williams there too? So I look at it as we kind of know some things, but I will keep coming back to in bowl games historically. Now, last year's the anomaly because Minnesota didn't have a quarterback that could consistently complete a forward pass. Max Brosmer can obviously do that, but I also expect to see some weird things in this game offensively. It's a bowl game. Okay. Yep. Like, what if they, again, I expect to see some trickeration from Minnesota in this game offensively, defensively. And then I'll also remind people, special teams wise, I believe it was 3 years ago we saw the Daniel Fall Lele.
Yes.
Was it a 2-point conversion?
I think it was a 2-point conversion, yeah.
Where he then destroyed John Michael Schmitz's ankle, which, oh, that's such a great story. I'm going to get sidetracked here, where Fall Lele scores, just destroys John Michael Schmitz's lower half. He ends up in a boot, and why that matters is within the next 24 hours, John Michael Schmitz then proposes to his girlfriend, didn't plan to do it in a boot, but he had to, and then he had to prepare. Yeah, the whole thing there. But we've also seen the Dragon Kessage not get into the end zone 2-point conversion.
Yes.
Bowl games are weird. It's essentially a glorified scrimmage at this point. I'm here for weird things. I will also say offensively, I've watched enough bowl games here in the last few weeks to where I swear to everything that is holy, to you, to me, to our listeners, if there is an overtime aspect of this game in Minnesota in the first overtime or the second overtime before it gets to the weird 2-point things, if they have an opportunity to just go for it and not kick the extra point or the field goal and win it, it's a bowl game. Who cares? Just do it. Play aggressive, heaven forbid. So I'm getting sidetracked here, but I expect to see Minnesota be a little bit different offensively in this one.
Okay, just a couple things, observations. We know that PJ Fleck and staff love to chase records. They've done this in the past, and Darius Taylor currently has 50 receptions on the season. The Gopher single season record is 52, which was set by Chuck Rios. This is the tweet that I mentioned in a previous
episode. Little Canada legend and Roseville area high school legend Chuck Rios to you, Luke Bjord. Wow. We have to pay homage to our own here. Okay?
Yeah, we do, as we're both Roseville residents. This was tweeted by Noel Thompson, who previously, I forgot, this is when I was in Seattle, and I couldn't remember the tweet and who tweeted it, so I wanted to give him credit. I would expect that they will try and get a couple of completions over to Darius, who has a history thus far of being the center of attention in a bowl game. This probably was because of the challenge to throw the ball, but I think he'll be a focal point, especially early, to try and get him that record. And then the other thing I wanted to note is, Just looking at the stats, one of the things that pops out to me is the turnover margin. The Gophers on the season were a plus 10. You know, they had 20 takeaways and 10 giveaways. Conversely, Virginia Tech was also a plus 7 with 23 takeaways and 16 giveaways. So You know, this defense, although maybe decimated, was able to force turnovers. So that's something to pay attention to in this specific game.
Absolutely.
Okay. Should we talk defense?
I suppose.
All right. So on the season, the Gophers are giving up 17.5 points per game. Conversely, Virginia Tech is averaging 29.7 points per game. If you look at the total offense, the Gopher defense is giving up 290 yards, whereas Virginia Tech is averaging 378 yards of total offense. If you look at just the rushing defense, the Gophers are giving up 112 yards. Conversely, Virginia Tech is averaging 187 yards running the ball. And then passing the ball, Minnesota is giving up 178 yards, whereas Virginia Tech is averaging 192 yards through the air. It seems, Ryan, at least statistically from the counting stats, this is a more run-heavy offense.
This is a very, I'll say this, it's a very gimmicky offense. Right. And I don't mean to throw shade at it. It's just very, it's very, I think especially in this type of game, it's going to be very gimmicky. And what do I mean by that? They're a shotgun, orbit motion, option principles with it, especially in this game where I expect Pop Watson to play. Pop Watson has started two games for Virginia Tech this season. They were the final two games of the year. He had double-digit rushing attempts in both. He's also only 5'11", 190 pounds. So I know Max Brosmer isn't the biggest guy in the world at probably 6'1", but, I mean, he's 5'11", 190, and he's a great athlete. And they're an offense that is predicated on getting your eyes in the wrong spot and then trying to gash you with it. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing to know about Pop Watson, there's a couple of things to know. So we've talked about before on this podcast the term ADOT, the average depth of target. A quick explainer for those who need a refresher course, it's a metric that shows how many yards downfield a player is being targeted on average. So his average ADOT in his two starts was 12.4 yards. That is incredibly, incredibly high. Mm-hmm. If you were to put that against the Big Ten quarterbacks who started this season, that would rank first among all Big Ten quarterbacks. So essentially, every attempt is 12.4 yards down the field on average. So when he throws it, it's not going to be a check down. It is going to be a shot. Now, I will also say that Watson has been sacked 9 times in his two starts. He is a quarterback, and that's where we can get into the nuances of this. I don't know where you stand on this, but I think sacks is more of a quarterback stat than it is an offensive line stat, because Watson has turned a pressure, and we're using PFF's pressure term, into a sack 37.5% of the time. Now, there needs to be context around that. Mm-hmm. If you compare that to the same mark I used previously, the starting Big Ten quarterbacks this year, that would be the worst mark out of all the Big Ten quarterbacks. In terms of 37.5% of pressures turned into a sack. That is incredibly, incredibly high, which is surprising because he's so mobile, but he is a young, inexperienced quarterback, and he's taking too many sacks. So it's going to be a lot of figuring out how to keep Pop Watson in the pocket, how to keep him, put pressure on him, I will say, because Minnesota has not forced a turnover in their last 10 quarters. I will remind people of that. They've gone 2.5 full games without a turnover. Now, they had plenty of opportunities, especially in that final quarter against Wisconsin, to do so, but they didn't. So you have a young quarterback who has been really good in terms of taking care of the ball with not fumbling, but putting pressure on him and then hopefully forcing him to make some bad decisions is going to be key in this one.
Yeah, that's interesting. This reminds me, was it Nevada that had a really mobile quarterback that was smaller that the Gophers
Brendan ended Lewis.
Yeah, they
well,
ended
he
up
was a bigger guy, but I mean was bigger? More mobile, yeah.
I was thinking that he was shorter too. Okay, maybe I'm thinking incorrectly. It's not like they haven't played against this kind of style with a little bit more, I don't know if gimmicky is the right word, but like a lot of misdirection, right? So it will be interesting to see how the defense can fare here. Obviously, the keys are going to have to be to stay home, and it would be nice to see them force another turnover again. It's been a bit too long. That's something that the Corey Heatherman defense has you know, has been part of their identity throughout the season, and they were better when they were able to stop that. But you know, we'll always take 24-7 over Wisconsin any day. So
100%.
Okay. Anything else defense you want to touch on quickly, or should we get to the keys to the game?
I think we should probably get to that.
Oh, we probably should do some. I probably should do some facts and figures too. Just to start on the facts and figures, as we talked about, this is the Duke's Mayo Bowl. This is going to be played on January 3rd at 6:30 p.m. This is in Charlotte, North Carolina, in Bank of America Stadium. It is a turf field, and this is the first ever meeting in the series overall. This is the first meeting between Virginia Tech and Minnesota. They have never played before. Minnesota has played a number of ACC teams, but has never played Virginia Tech, at least on television. This is going to be on ESPN, which it feels like almost every bowl game is. The play-by-play is going to be Matt Barry, and then the analyst is Aaron Murray, and Harry Styles Jr. Harry Lyles Jr.
I was about to say your favorite singer is going to be the play.
Who is Harry Styles?
How'd you swing that?
I don't even know who Harry Styles is.
You're so old.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. I don't know who he is. Is it fair at this point? We're recording on a Tuesday. It's to even give a weather estimate. I feel like it's not, but I can go for it. I just feel like it's not particularly fair.
I mean, I think it's, here's what I'll say about the weather for this upcoming weekend. If you're going to be traveling to Charlotte, two things. Number one, Thursday night, if you're in Charlotte in time, we're going to be hanging out at the Soda Social, and by me and Justin Gard.
Oh, nice.
I don't know where it is, which is not helpful. I'll look it up here in a second, but it's, if you want to come hang out with us, come hang out with some other Gopher fans. We'll be doing that Thursday night. And then Friday night for the game, I think it's a high on Friday in Charlotte of like 52 degrees-ish.
Yeah.
But I'll remind you, it's at 7:30 local time, Eastern time. And I expect by the end of the game, it's probably going to be in the upper 30s.
Yeah.
So somewhere between 43 and 37 degrees. But so dress accordingly. So it's going to be a little chillier, but it's not like it's going to be insanely cold. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then real quick, let's look at the betting stats here, Ryan. The Gophers actually are the favorite, as you mentioned earlier. It opened as a 4.5-point spread. Currently, it is Gophers by 7.5, with the over-under being 42.5. So the Gophers are obviously definitely a slight favorite in this one. And then just to look back at our stats, Ryan, on the season, we weren't great, but we weren't terrible. So I want straight up, Ryan, you were 9-3. I was 8-4 in our predictions live. We both picked the Gophers to be 7-5 overall. That's exactly what they were. Against the over under, Ryan, you were 4-7. I was 5-6. So I barely clipped you there. But against the spread, Ryan, you were actually very good. You were 6-6. I conversely was 3-9. I was absolutely terrible.
It's why I don't bet on games, other than, I guess, principles for my profession, I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly hard to do. So I don't pretend to be the guy that should give out that kind of advice. How do we do in the over under?
In the over under, you were 4-7, and I was 5-6.
God,
people might go, why only 11? There were 12 games, fellas. Well, there was no over under on the Rhode Island game. So
yeah, by the time we had recorded, there wasn't. No.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess there's one opportunity left. The other thing that I wanted to highlight here, if you listened all the way from the preview episode, like previewing the entire season. What we did was we tried to designate what were going to be coin flip games. I think this is something we're going to do going forward, Ryan, just because in the new age, I think there's going to be more parity. I think there's going to be more closer games, and winning coin flip games are going to be really important. Ultimately, we had classified, let me count them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, ended up, or we classified eight were going to be coin flip games. In the end, there ended up being 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 3 ended up not. The ones that ended up not being coin flip games were the Iowa game, the Wisconsin game, and then the Maryland game. So I don't think that probably is a surprise to anyone, but the Gophers overall did actually pretty well in coin flip games. They started off pretty poorly in what we classified as coin flip games with North Carolina and Iowa, but then they ended up winning the USC game, which Ryan called a coin flip game. Then they beat UCLA, which Ryan called a coin flip game. They ended up blowing out Maryland, which we thought was going to be a coin flip game. They ended up winning the Illinois game, which we said was going to be a coin flip game. Same with Rutgers. With Rutgers, they ended up losing, but that ended up being another coin flip game there. And then Wisconsin, they just ended up trashing Wisconsin.
I'd also say the Penn State one could have gone either way.
Yeah.
I'd say it ended up being the UCLA game could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Didn't Minnesota end up, 3-5 in one possession games this year, which essentially means there were eight, quote unquote. I refuse to say the term now because you've said it so many times in the last 3 minutes that if you were a drinking game, it would not be going well, at least in 15 minutes from now. But I mean, both teams in this game were Minnesota, I think, was 3-5 in one possession games, and Virginia Tech was 6-6 overall in the season, but their six losses were by a combined 37 points. So every game for them was very, very close, and they had a chance in every single one of them. But especially just going forward, I think where you were taking it is even looking forward to the 2025 schedule. Like, there's two games where you're on the road at Oregon, you're on the road at Ohio State. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yeah.
And then the other 10 games, it's okay. Well, you're going to have a shot. So something to keep in mind, certainly looking forward to 2025.
Yeah, it's going to be something to kind of acclimate yourself to as college football continues to evolve, because these one score games are going to continue to probably be a thing. It's something we often see in the NFL. And from that perspective, I think that's where college football is becoming more like the NFL in that way. Okay, so Ryan, maybe quickly, what are your keys to this game?
Yeah, I don't want to rehash too much, but my first key is I would let Max Brosmer and Darius Taylor cook in this thing. We've gone through the multitude of opt-outs for Virginia Tech defensively without their two first-team all-ACC defensive linemen, essentially their entire secondary, two linebackers who combined for 100 tackles. Minnesota's likely going to be without Marcus Major, Daniel Jackson, Ariante Ursary, Tyler Cooper, Philip Daniels. I mean, you're going to be without quite a bit there, but I keep coming back to that stat I mentioned earlier. Minnesota has run for 215 yards in four of their five bowl games under PJ Fleck. I expect them to try and establish the damn ball in this game in Charlotte, especially without the two-star defensive lineman there. But I would also really let Max Brosmer kind of showcase it. And I mean, you still got Elijah Spencer and Lamecki Brockington, Jamison Gears, among other there. I would not be afraid to attack a defense that is going to be having a brand new play caller, likely 7 or 8 new defensive starters. See what happens. Second key to the game would be for Minnesota's defense. You got to limit the gimmick that is Virginia Tech's offense. Now, we've gone through the multitude of different things of who's going to be playing, who won't be. I'll keep coming back to their starting quarterback for this one, Pop Watson. Only 5'11", 190 pounds. Very mobile. I talked about his ADOT of 12.4 yards. He loves to chuck the thing down the field. He's also taken 9 sacks and 2 starts. So if you can get more pressure in this one with 3 starters, arguably their 3 best linemen for Virginia Tech not playing in this one, and you've got a lot of your starting defensive line playing in this, you'd hope that Winston Dellaire-Boudere's defensive line is able to get some pressure and make sure that the quarterback cannot get comfortable. But if you're Minnesota and Corey Heatherman, you have to make sure your eyes are in the right spot. It's a lot of eye candy. It's shotgun with orbit motion, jet sweeps, end-arounds, reverses, more. They can gash you for big plays if you don't have your eyes in the right spot and you aren't disciplined with your assignment. So make sure that you know where you're looking. Make sure you execute your assignment. And if you can continually get Pop Watson in third and long, I mean, I think some good things are going to happen. I will note that in his 2 starts, he ran for over 110 yards combined with 9 first downs with his legs. So they are among his best weapons. And then finally, it's a bowl game, Luke. Show up.
Yep.
I mean, so much of bowl games in 2024, I guess, by maybe the time you listen to this, it's 2025 already, revolves around who is playing and who wants to be there. Both teams have significant pieces missing from their regular season teams, but there's still plenty of talent to go around. And now Minnesota is 5-0 in bowl games under PJ Fleck, a 7-game bowl winning streak, which I believe it is the longest in the country. So in theory, you're going to see Minnesota's best effort on Friday night. But making sure that you're ready to go is important nonetheless. It's not going to be incredibly cold. Won't be warm either. Like I said, low 40s, upper 30s for this one. But bringing the physicality against an ACC team early is critical.
Yeah, so before we get to our previews, I don't know if you had a chance to look at College Football Insiders. I don't know how valuable it is because of how many players might be opting out and whatnot. But did you take a look at that?
I have looked at it, where it's essentially a 50-50 game.
Yeah.
All of the starters would have been playing. But that's where you can use it. And this is where I saw Parker Fleming, friend of the podcast, Parker Fleming, who runs this website, say, because he was asked about similar types of things, which I think you're about to get into, and I'll steal your thunder.
That's fine.
Is you can use, like we used to, I mean, during the regular season, it's incredibly valuable stuff. But because of the amount of players that are going to be on both sides, it's more so just a guide to say, okay, Virginia Tech isn't very good at passing the football, and they're better at running it. Defensively, they're better against the pass than they were the run. Same thing goes for on the Minnesota side of things, where they're better. I mean, that's essentially the way I go at it. But yes, I did see that essentially, if you look at this game via that, it is a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah, and the thing that I found interesting about it is I think that Minnesota, from a statistical, from an overall advanced statistical perspective, is stronger than Virginia Tech in almost every area. But in this specific matchup, it leans Virginia Tech very slightly, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not particularly meaningful given the number of people that'll be out, but you can get some tendency understanding maybe as well. So you want to do our predictions now. I'll remind everyone that the Gophers are a 7.5-point favorite, with the over under being 42.5. So
the only other thing I'll note before we get there is I will give the location for that Soda Social on Thursday night.
Call.
It is going to be at the All American Pub off Bland Street in Charlotte, plus their sister location next door, Slate. So if you're looking for a place to hang out, it is free to get in. You'll have to pay for your food and drinks like the rest of us. But from 3 to 7, All American Pub in Charlotte. It's in downtown Charlotte, and their sister location, Slate, will also be open if there is overflow. And then I believe they're at like 7 p.m. there's some pep rally at Truist Plaza. So if you're looking for a place to hang out, don't have any agenda, and you know you're going to be getting in Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, come hang out at the Soda Social.
All right. I'll give my preview. I think that Minnesota has enough weapons on offense to get it done. Even though they are down some people, I think that having Darius Taylor and Max Brosmer is a big benefit to them. And I think there's just enough defensive guys, even though they'll have a number of opt-outs as well. There'll be just enough defensive guys to get it done. So I'll go Gophers 27-17. So that would be a Minnesota cover, and it would be an over.
So, as I always do, and I'll remain the same, here's my glass half full scenario. So, Minnesota eviscerates Virginia Tech at the line of scrimmage. It's a rout by halftime. Corey Heatherman's defense gets their first turnover since the Rutgers game with a Zaquan Bryan pick six to start the third quarter. Darius Taylor runs for over 100. Luke's guy, Jared Mangum, gets his first touchdown as a Golden Gopher. Fleck is doused with copious amounts of mayo in a 34-9 victory. Now, if you want to be glass half empty, Johnny Raincloud over here, Pop Watson, his athleticism and deep shot mentality give Virginia Tech explosives. Minnesota's defense doesn't force a turnover for their fourth game in a row. And that revamped offensive line is leaky, doesn't allow Brosmer time to throw. Taylor has nowhere to run. And I can't not talk about special teams. where in that scenario, Minnesota special teams allows a late kickoff return touchdown, and Minnesota loses in Charlotte 28-17. Now, reality always somewhere in between. And until we know who is actually suiting up, the whole preview may be moot, which this will be 45 minutes of my life, your life, Luke Buehr's life that we'll never get back. But we can't look at it that way, okay? The line for this game continues to trend in Minnesota's favor. It's somewhere around 7.5, 8 points. I will say Darius Taylor gets his 100-yard rushing game, but Max Brosmer is the story as he throws for 3 touchdowns. He's the catalyst. Minnesota wins the game 31-20 in Charlotte.
All right. 31-20. Okay. So you took the over and as well as
the over and the cover.
Man, yeah, we're the same.
Many people say that about us. My red hair, your red hair.
Yeah, that's so funny. Okay, well, I think it's important to say we had a ton of fun here in 2024. Today is the last day of 2024 talking about Gopher football. We appreciate all those who sponsored us, and especially Homefield, who is still sponsoring us for this episode as well. It's been really fun to talk and interact with some of you as we got a chance to meet some of you throughout the season. Overall, I thought this was a really fun Gopher football season, Ryan. Maybe not as many wins as people would have liked, but I think from an entertainment value, it just really didn't get a lot better.
Yeah. I think they exceeded expectations. There was obviously more left on the, bone, but I do want to thank our listeners like you did. I actually just looked up the analytics, and we actually did 6 figures in downloads this year, which, I think we're over as a podcast now, like I'm looking at it now, 1.26 million listens/downloads, which for a Gopher football podcast is insane.
Yeah.
We're very thankful for you guys. Like Luke said, thanks for hanging out with us all year. We'll have a breakdown episode with Derek Burns probably coming Monday night, Tuesday morning. I'll also be getting together with Daniel House to talk through all things transfer portal. And as always, unfortunately for me and unfortunately for the Gopher football staff, they have a game Friday night. They'll likely be hosting transfers Saturday, Sunday. And then, oh, by the way, they get to hit the road on Monday morning to start seeing 26s. PJ Fleck will be on the road for most of the month of January. And if you want to know all about that, that is gopherillustrated.com, nightly notes, which is the bane of my existence, but everyone's favorite thing to be refreshing at 10 p.m. to see what is going on in the world of Gopher football recruiting. Thanks for hanging out with us this year.
Yeah, again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the bowl game. Enjoy the new year, and go Gophers.